Your brain starts to deteriorate at 27. So in 2009, researchers at the University of Virginia tested cognitive skills of over 2,000 participants ranging from an age of 18 to 60. 22-year-olds performed best, and test scores began to drop off in folks over the age of 27.
Sorry, I zoned out there. What was that fun fact?
Your brain started. I'm not going to repeat that for you. Right. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing, Lars.
Sorry, I zoned out there.
Hey, hey, my friends, I'm Lars Classington, host of Laughing Vikings Live and founder of LaughingVikings.com. I am pumped to be your high-vibe chat shit captain today. I believe that every day we can use our creative gifts with intention and purpose to have more fun while pushing ourselves to grow and rising to life's challenges. I believe that everyone can turn dreams from delusions to reality, and you can be the writer, director, and star of your own extraordinary life. That's why I started my company, LaughingVikings.com. It's an online community of creators and digital media production platform where you get me, plus the world's best actors, artists, comedians, creators, dreamers, and entrepreneurs working with you live every week, sharing our knowledge, keeping you motivated and accountable, encouraging you to share your gifts, create your best content, and turn passions to profits, all while finding the connection and the meaning of life we all desire. If you're not a member yet, go to LaughingVikings.com and join our worldwide cast and crew of dreamers. For less than a buck a day, you get access to the world's best live every week, plus VIP access to all our digital media production services. Let's face it, you're probably tired of bugging family and friends for help, and maybe you realize you could use some expert guidance, an inspired community, and some life-changing tools to help you reach the next level of your own artgasm. Join the cast and crew at LaughingVikings.com, and let's turn delusions to reality together. Now it's time for today's show. Interact, ask questions, and take some notes. And be sure to share this episode out with three of your creative friends. The world could use a little more positivity. So be that person for three friends who are just like you. A person who's committed to turning their own dreams to reality. And be sure to tag and DM us on Instagram at Laughing Vikings and connect and say hi. Now it's time to start the show.
Oh, we are back.
We are.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Laughing Vikings Live, episode 21. This was an epic one. This is going to be epic, epic, epic. Huge. I'm pumped for this. A few things that are happening. Number one, this is the second week in a row that we are now a stand-up podcast. None of this cool crap where you sit down all boring. Like, we're changing the game here, Brandon. Look at this.
I've been dancing since I got on here, and I'm loving it. So I'm just moving.
Yeah, if you're used to listening to podcasts where the hosts are just sitting down, or if you're used to being a guest on a podcast where you're sitting down, that's not how we do
it. You're going to be standing when you come on this podcast.
We're changing the game here, right? Like, look at this. So much room, right?
So much room for activities, Lars.
Right? Look at this.
Ooh, look at those legs. Someone did leg day.
I did leg day. It's Friday. Friday's leg day.
Friday's leg day?
With 30 Minute Daily. Shout out to 30 Minute Daily. Yeah, you can actually do a free workout. Should join one day. We should do a just all actors one time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Maybe.
Who knows? And the other thing, you see, we get a little bit of an upgrade. We are now live from StreamYard, which is a new platform that we've discovered, which so far I love. So thank you, thank you, thank you, StreamYard. You're doing a great job. So many things. Look at all these graphics and banners. As you see below, look, we can now do stuff like this. Look at that. Do that, Brandon. Go ahead. Yeah.
Go down. Wait, there it is.
We can point up here.
Point up there. Oh, over there.
Right? We're changing the game. And if you're listening right now, you're like, what are they pointing at? Mystery and intrigue. You'll never know unless you go check us out We broadcast live on Facebook, on YouTube. Then you'll find clips on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. I don't know. What else? Where else? That's it. Mostly.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. And then we'll be posting on Apple Audio for just audio and stuff like that.
Right.
And we'll be posting on every platform we can. So you won't miss us.
And if you're listening to us right now on any of those platforms, you're like, I'm already listening to you. I don't need to hear where to find you. I'm already with you guys. But we got
to
keep.
Somebody might need to. Okay. Someone might.
And as you can see below us, if you want to grab free live stream comedy show tickets, or if you want a link to a free acting workshop with the Tom Todaroff Conservatory in New York City, or you want to get a free audition session either in studio or live stream via Zoom with Laughing Vikings, the link below, click the link below. Or if you're watching this on Instagram, it's in our link in bio. LaughingVikings.com/links is where you find all our freebies. So you can just get some freebies, but not now. Stay right here, right now. Don't leave. Don't leave. Don't leave us. So what else can we talk about here? I want to just.
We didn't coordinate this today, but we're in the same shirt, different colors. Spread the good vibes, right, Lars?
Good vibes. You're absolutely right. He's not lying that we didn't coordinate t-shirts, but I don't know. We're pretty much good vibes all around.
Here, oh, yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me.
I feel like fun shirts is becoming more of our thing. It's like, why not wear a fun shirt when you can wear a fun shirt, right?
Well, here's the thing. It's like, do you want a boring old podcast where people are sitting down wearing nondescript t-shirts, or do you want some stand up, some futuristic, like cutting edge stand up walk and talk podcasting with cool t-shirts?
Yeah.
Right? Something to look at. And if you're a sponsor out there, you're like, how do we get my brand, my t-shirt? First of all, you got to be really good vibes. We only work with the people that are good vibes. So, but if you're the right fit, send us a DM at Laughing Vikings, or you can email us lol@laughingvikings.com. And maybe we'll wear your swag.
Yeah.
For the right price. Or if you're like a cool band or something, if you're a cool indie band, you can just send us some free merch and maybe we'll wear it for you. Just putting it out there. Listen and subscribe on those podcast platforms. But if you share this and you want to be the person in your life sharing cool things, especially sharing good vibes. There's a lot of bad vibes. 2020 was a low vibe year. 2021's a bit of a rocky start. So if you're a person out there, if you want to really help your family and friends, you should just be sharing Laughing Vikings Live out. Share it with at least 3 friends and tag us at Laughing Vikings. And you know what you'll get? Free prizes. You can win some prizes. We'll send you out prizes. Ooh. Stand-up album, free audition sessions, maybe a month's membership, maybe a wild card prize. Who knows what you'll get?
And remember our motto for this year, Lars.
More
fun in 21.
More fun in 21.
More fun in 21. There you go.
21. Nice.
Woo.
Nice. All right. So let's get this baby started.
Yep. Today we are going to be starting.
Show's always very plug heavy, but we want to make sure if you're new with us that you go to the right places and you connect in the right way. So now that you've done all that, we'll get down to business. Go ahead, Brandon.
Okay. And so we are introducing Brandon's Fun Facts.
Ooh, Brandon's Fun Facts. Brandon's Fun Facts. We're working on the theme song.
Yeah. It's in development. So today, as you can see, it is a Fosse fact. And Lars, I guess we're taking bets on this. Do you think you know this fact, or do you think you don't know this fact?
I probably don't, because I don't know much about his life other than who he was. So for those who don't know, Bob Fosse is a famous casting director, often on Broadway. He's the famous director and choreographer. I'm confusing him with Michael Shurtleff, who we spend a lot of time with, who was Bob Fosse's casting director. But
the reason I did pick this today is because in the Michael Shurtleff book Audition, Bob Fosse does do the foreword in that book. So if you haven't read that book, I highly recommend it. It is fantastic. I'm halfway through and I'm absolutely loving it. I think it's an essential read for any actor, either starting out or still very experienced that just needs to like restart and rethink things. 100% recommending The Audition, Michael Shurtleff. Do you have it on you? There it is.
This is what it looks like right here. Yeah. Yeah, I would say it's one of the Bibles, especially if you're at a point in your career where you need to still audition for your roles. If you're not auditioning, then maybe you don't need it as much. But By the way, that forward in the book, it was by Fosse. That's a Fosse forward. And this is a Fosse fun fact.
So Bob Fosse is the only person to win an Oscar, an Emmy, and a Tony all in the same year in 1973. And he won the Oscar for Cabaret. He won the Tony for Pippin. And he won the Emmy for a concert live show it was a TV special called Liza with a Z.
Wow.
It's so cool. The special, the Liza with a Z, came out before Cabaret because like just to give it like some momentum going into like an award season. It actually wasn't. It was released in September. It was released September 10th, 1972. And Cabaret was released February 13th, 1972. So Cabaret would have been released right in the heart of like Oscar season. That's basically when it starts. It usually starts in December through February. And then they get nominated through that kind of thing.
73 was a hell of a year for Fosse, huh?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Nice. And like he won for director, I believe all three times, and choreography twice.
Right.
In that year. So like he took home at least five awards.
You want to know who also has dabbled in a little choreo?
Is that you? Ooh, are we going to see some moves? Go for it. Ooh. Ooh. Nice. Look at that form, everybody. Give it up for Lars.
Yeah, several years at the National Academy of Dancing and Choreography.
It shows. It shows how flexible you are. Like nice. It's wonderful to watch.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because I brought that up because Andrew Lloyd Webber, he used to actually release albums to musicals before the musical was released. And so, like, basically it made the musical almost, like, review-proof because people were already invested in the songs.
Right.
So they were already wanting to go see the musical even before it came out.
That's so smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's already on the radio. It's, like, running ads for the show. Mm-hmm. And people are like, I want to hear those songs live with people running around and singing them.
It's so fascinating just like how people like maneuvered around award season or like maneuvered around getting things produced and getting things done. Like even like Ryan Reynolds getting Deadpool done. Like he released a clip on YouTube just of Deadpool, and that's how Fox greenlit Deadpool 1.
Right. The fans went crazy and were like, why isn't there a Deadpool movie? And just raised the big stink.
Mm-hmm.
Power to the people. Yeah, it was just an angry mob with torches demanding Deadpool movie.
Demanding the Deadpool movie, and they got it. And did it deliver.
Right? Yeah, that's impressive. I wonder, though, was he a little upset that he didn't get the Grammy in the same year?
No, he wasn't. As far as I know, I mean, do you actually know the first person to win an EGOT? And if anyone doesn't know, an EGOT is an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony.
And as I like to say, without the Tony, it's just ego.
There you go.
And the reason is because theater's the main thing. It's where it's at, right? That's the purest of the pure. Was it in the same year? Couldn't have been in the same year.
No. He would have completed it in 1962, I believe.
It's not Christopher Plummer, is it?
No.
Okay. Who is it?
His name is Richard Rodgers. He is an American composer.
Richie Rodgers, good old Dick Rodgers.
Yeah,
for him, American composer. That makes sense. Probably composers have a pretty solid chance. That might be. I wonder what the easiest way to get an EGOT is. Is that the easiest way?
I feel like that or a director, depending on what you do. If you like,
right?
I'm not sure if the Grammys have an award for director of a music video. I assume they do.
I think the correct answer is there's likely no easy way to get an EGOT.
That is 100% true. It is not something like
a fuck ton of work in several years of your life.
I always remember the season in 30 Rock when Tracy Morgan goes and gets the EGOT for like one film. And I think he gets the Tony for like a live show that goes completely awry kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Awesome season.
Love it. All awesome right, show. Fun fact. Thank you. And that was Brandon's fun fact. That was Brandon's fun fact. Fun facts.
And don't you always feel like uplifted when you hear a fun fact? I always think it's like one of the happiest moments.
I love fun facts way more than sad facts.
I don't know if I've ever actually looked up any sad facts, to be honest.
Sad facts? Well, why don't we?
Yeah, do you want me to?
That's a Google thing. Yeah, because fun, everyone's, again, we're changing the game around here. We go from a sit-down podcast to a stand-up podcast. We go from plain old boring Zoom to fancy logos and banners and graphics. And then we also, we mix it up. You might get a fun fact or you might get a sad fact. You might watch this and leave feeling horrible, but it's the way we mix it up. It's called pattern interruption. You know, that so someone comes to this for the good vibes and then you hit them with the saddest fact ever. So
yeah,
hit it. But then
the thing that pops up when you type in sad facts on Google is the first thing that comes up is 16 depressing facts to ruin your friend's day. And then in quotations, it says sorry in big, bold letters.
All right. Well, let's ruin some of our friend's days.
Let's do
sad
it.
Sad fact. This is a first. Always fun
fact. I don't usually read sad facts. So the first one is scientists believe they have discovered the loneliest whale in the world who travels alone and cannot communicate with other whales. This whale was discovered in 1992 and has been searching for scientists discovered this whale's song in 1992 and have been searching for it ever since. The mystery mammal sings at a frequency of 52 hertz, much higher than the standard 15 to 25 hertz range of other species of whale.
So everyone, then all the other whales are like, and he's like,
and they're like, what the fuck is this guy saying?
Which proves a point.
Who brought Simon to the party again?
Did we just discover that maybe some whales are, I was going to say maybe some whales are assholes, but they're not really assholes if they legit can't hear.
Like they can't.
It's not like they're hearing it high and then judging it and being like, what is Roger doing here with his high squeals? That's sad, though. So he's just out there.
Some of these are interesting. I mean, I knew some of these, like pigs can experience depression. I did know that.
No one knows what it's like to be the sad whale. Yeah, sad pig. Yeah, sad pig's good, too.
No one knows silver what millist. It's
like. To be the sad pig. I'm just a sad pig.
And then Spider Pig comes on just crawling across the screen as another pig's like super depressed. Like,
well, actually,
Spider Pig's crawling across the
screen. I feel like there's a reason some pigs are depressed, and it's because they realize that they're in the Auschwitz of slaughterhouses and they've had their children ripped from them and seen their uncles and cousins and brothers and sisters loaded up in a truck squealing and screaming. And like, I feel like word gets around, you know, like they say that
it's kind of like the movie Chicken Run where they know
yeah.
that if they don't produce eggs, it's going to turn out badly for them.
Which is why I think we're both working on, we've been eating less meat and moving more plant-based food, I think. I eat less meat, especially less pork, because I feel bad.
I mean, I grew up as a butcher for several years. I mean, butcher is a strong term for what I am. I'm more of a cutter. So I can't, like, a butcher can take, like, a whole, like, a pig and, like, carve it up and do all, like, the pieces with it. I can personally take a piece that's already been, like, taken out of the pig and, like, cut that up kind of thing.
And you do all the fine, the...
Yeah, I mean, mostly you just, like, trim the fat and, like,
precision make it look presentable.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm super precise, but yeah, I did that for a very long time. I did that from like 16 to 26, 27.
You sick fuck.
Yeah.
Brandon the Butcher.
That's what I am.
All right, what do we got? Let's move to the next.
Yeah, topic. Let's move on to something more fun.
Facts, sad facts. Actually, one more sad fact.
Sure. One more sad fact. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe two more.
Two more? Okay. If you wash your underwear with other laundry, then your clothes are more likely to be contaminated with fecal matter.
Well, that just makes total sense, right?
There. Yeah, I know. That's just logic. Funny to think about. Yeah.
I mean, it depends a little bit on how much fecal matter is in your underwear.
It's actually, it's similar to beards, because bearded people, they find, like, if they test the beard, there's usually like a couple, there's like a percentage of fecal matter in right. The beard.
All beards are 12% urine.
How would it even get up there? It's just fingers.
It's just
fingers. Yeah. Oh yeah, because you get the splashback as well.
Yeah. All right. That is a sad fact. One more sad fact.
Your brain starts to deteriorate at 27. So in 2009, researchers at the University of Virginia tested cognitive skills of over 2,000 participants ranging from an age of 18 to 60. 22-year-olds performed best, and test scores began to drop off in folks over the age of 27.
Sorry, I zoned out there. What was that fun fact?
Your brains. I'm not going to repeat that for you. Right. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing, Lars.
Sorry, I zoned out there.
All right. So, just goes to prove that they were right.
Right. What's next on the docket today?
Moving on, we have a little special video for you all.
Ooh, a little special video themed in the theme of audition chat. We like to talk about auditions.
We like to talk about auditions at LV Live. So
Slate it up. Do you want to explain what a slate is to the lay people, to the non-actors? What is a slate?
A slate is something that you either put at the tail end of your audition or at the beginning of your audition, and it's mostly just an introduction for the producers, the director, the writers, all the people that are casting you in either a movie, TV show, or whatever. So that's just a brief introduction to be like, hi, I did this work. My name is Brandon Knox. Usually it includes your height. So now it includes your location and the location for the foreseeable future, just because of COVID and location limitations and stuff like that. But that is a basic rundown of what a slate actually is. And what I've always been intrigued by since I started at Laughing Vikings has been your slates, Lars. Uh-huh. I think they are some of the most brilliant things I have ever seen. Wow. Like, I think it's very fun what you've done with slates. I personally think I always look forward to doing tapes with you because I'm excited to see what your slate's going to be.
Just for the slate. Yeah. Yeah. That's actually my goal, is just to be eventually just cast off slates where I only just submit the slate and not even in the audition. Or maybe someone casts me in a movie that's just like the slatest. the Slater.
The Slater?
Just me. It's just like a professional Slater. Like nobody says that guy's name, height, city, and agency better than that guy.
Yeah, no, sometimes they don't say it quite like Lars Classington, let me tell you.
That was a great explanation too. Sometimes you got to do show hands, maybe.
Oh,
sometimes,
yeah.
Sometimes you might have to tell a little fun fact if they want to get a feel for you. So it's basically you talking right to production and casting. Sometimes it's full body where you'll be back here. Profiles. You have to do all kinds of wacky stuff depending on the production. So yes, you like my slates. What do you like about them?
They're very fun. You always incorporate something that you did in the tape in your slate. And it's always just sort of a nod to be like, I'm a fun person to work with. So give me a chance. And I always think that's wonderful to see. Like,
I wasn't always like that as well. And a lot of people listening and or watching right now, you might like a lot of actors, the second you hear Slater, are like, oh, like so awkward. Cause it is kind of awkward and it's different. Like you're you, but you might've just finished doing the scene as well. Sometimes in a live audition, that sometimes the first thing you do is you walk into the room, say hello to the live people in the room. And then in front of the camera, you'd slate down the barrel, looking right down the camera. And then you'd go into character or you'd do it in the reverse option. But yeah. I used to be like, sometimes it's like, it's that class. It's like that Will Ferrell Talladega Nights thing where it's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. And you see people like,
yeah, pose. Sort of
like, yeah, like what pose and things. And I think that's just people being a little too, what do you call it? Like self-conscious.
Yeah,
self-conscious. But I used to be like that. I used to be really awkward too, or just like how to look or how to, all that stuff. Whether or not.
Before we get into that topic, I want to find out more about that. But can we show the clip first?
All right, before we get into that. He's like, enough with the explanation and just show
it. I want to see it again. I watched it before. I've loved it.
All right. So we loaded. So what you're about to see is just several, I don't know, maybe half a dozen slates from maybe in the last 3 months, some of my auditions. And a handful of these, I actually booked it too. So you'll be like, oh shit, it actually works. but yeah, I have a lot of fun with it, as you'll see. So here we go.
Oh, hey, Lars Classington, 6'2", Toronto. Hi, Lars Classington, 6'3", Toronto.
Get out of here.
Hi, Lars Classington, 6'3", Toronto. Hey, I said get the fuck out of here, asshole. Hi, Lars Classington, 6'3", Toronto. Oh, hey, Lars Classington, 6'3", Toronto. Hi, Lars Classington. Hi, Lars Classington, 6'3", Toronto.
Meow.
Hi, I'm Lars Classington, 6'3", Toronto. Hey, everyone, Lars Classington, 6'3", Toronto. These are my hands, and this is my flute.
Well done. Especially that last one. The last one with the flute is just, it's priceless for me. Although yeah. I think my favorite is the Scarface.
The with the shirt?
Yeah, with the bear shirt. With
yeah,
Scarface.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like the pose. That's
yeah.
it.
So yeah, the pose. Yeah, I started just recently and it's come from it comes from the comedian background in me. I think there's something to say, like if you can get a little laugh in and you want to signal to production, yeah, I'm a fun guy. I like goofing around. Like, obviously, I'm professional, but I'm going to get laughs. But not just for laugh's sake. Usually, all of those things that I do at the end, there's some hint or callback to something in the scene and or maybe like the one line where I was yelling, get the fuck out of here. That was a line from the audition. So I sort of treat it as a button slash callback comedically, just a little wink, wink to production, but also one last look to get an extra read. Like maybe my first two reads on that line wasn't exactly what they were looking for, but then I say something in the slate and they're like, ooh, fuck, I like that.
Yeah.
This guy knows how to slate. Yeah, no, they're really
it's
fun.
Great. You're so right about it being an extra button at the end. Like it makes me as like an audience member like feel uplifted and be like, oh, this guy's a really cool person to be around. And like that's who I want to work with. I want to work with the cool person that's fun to be around.
Right.
Like you don't want to be stuck with somebody for like 10 days if they're just going to be a miserable Nancy. I don't know.
Right. Or very awkward and nervous and any of that. And mm-hmm. You don't want those vibes. You want good vibes only, right?
Yeah.
That's the key. You want good vibes only. And I should give a shout out to Totteroff Studios, Tom Totteroff. My background is comedy. So that risk taking and that goofiness has always been there. But being in his class recently has sort of raised my level of risk-taking and confidence and just kind of having that. It's a little bit of a fuck it attitude, but for me, it's not a fuck it in like, it's not.
Yeah, it's not like a fuck you. It's just like a
care or anything. Yeah. It's actually that I do care and I want to be a little different. I see it as a pattern interrupt too. So if like the reality for a casting assistant, if you're looking at first auditions, they might be having to look at like 500 of these. And do they even watch them all? Maybe not all the time, but they're watching these one after the other, after the other, after the other. So I just feel as a human being to make them laugh. And now the reality is also, I know a lot of them. So depending mm-hmm. on the casting director, like it's kind of me directly saying to the casting director, hey, hey, wink, wink. Like, remember, like, you know me kind of.
Yeah. Thing. Like, hey, and well, because even most commercials start with the slate.
Right.
So like it is your introduction into the audition. So it's saying, this is what I do. This is who I am. I'm a great, fun, bright person. And like, again, that's who we want to work with. That's the person that's going to get hired.
Yeah. Slates. Slate it up.
Slate it up.
Slate it up.
So was it when you started with the Tom Totteroff Studio? That's when you started doing these particular slates?
No, I'd always done them, but I hadn't consistently done them, and it wasn't something that I purposely think about previously. Like previously, I was more like, okay, how am I looking? How am I standing? Which is not the energy. Like as an actor, this is also something that Tom says. He says you act to be expressive, not impressive. So instead of like checking your hair and your face and what angle, just express yourself in a joyful, fun manner or professional or however you want to express yourself. But if you're trying to impress people, you're self-conscious and you're like, oh, I got to stand this way. Or you tape it one time and you're like, oh, I didn't like how I tape that, which sometimes we still do. But the point is I'm just directly connecting with them. I'm being kind of goofy and silly and just having a good time. Like I actually love to audition. I love being on set. I love the prep. I like doing all of this. So it's just, I'm going to have fun with it. And if there was ever a casting director, and I can't ever imagine this ever happening where it's like casting director saying like, oh, can you send a message to that Lars? He keeps sending these fun, silly little slates, making us laugh during our day. Like it would never happen.
Yeah.
It would never happen. So I think it's just, it's a way to just have some fun and express that. And honestly, if someone saw that and did have the attitude of like, who is this guy doing that? It's probably not someone that I would even want to work with. Because if mm-hmm. they can't take a little goofy joke like that, it's like maybe they take their whole life too seriously.
Yeah.
Right.
So does this make slates and auditions more exciting for you doing these kinds of slates?
Yeah, 100%. Because then my slates, I see them as like a little sketch comedy, like, same as I might see an Instagram story as just an opportunity to be creative and a little goofy or silly or just think of an idea. Yeah, it's way more exciting. It's just a different muscle I get to flex. It's a bit of a writer's muscle. Often I'll add something that is something that the character would say, like a little extra button. And mm-hmm. I think as a casting director or as a director or producer, yeah, you can hire actors who are great at executing what's on paper. But if you get that plus an actor who can then write in character, in the voice of the character, aka improvise, then you have just more of an asset right there. So, and it's what I want to do as well. It's when I'm on set, full respect to the writers and directors and everything, but I feel that one of my skills and one of my tools in my tool belt is coming up with little lines, adding little things, having little creative moments, doing extra physical things, having fun with a prop. All of that are, it's part of who I am as a performer. So for me to not exhibit that, also little musical things, like whether it was whistling or singing a little line, it's all things that are part of me as a performer. So if an audition is half, hey, check me out, this is who I am and this is what you're getting, like hire me and this is the package. Mm-hmm. It's part of who I am, part of my package when I'm offering it to casting.
Yeah. And it's great. I always look forward to seeing what you're going to do with a slate every time we're in a session together.
It's certainly more fun than being awkward. That's like them being like self-conscious, and that's because I've done that as well. And that just feels gross. And it like you see it too.
Mm-hmm.
You see it if casting or people, like if you're like a little twitchy and kind of weird where you're just not comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah. And that comes across. The camera sees everything. Sees like little moves. Like even when we were doing an audition for me yesterday, and you saying you shake your head a lot, like that wasn't something I was aware of, but like now I'm conscious of it and now I can focus on that. And like, again, the camera picks up everything. And like, so those little things that you don't even notice that you're doing in everyday life, they come across. And so it's good to like practice in front of a camera and good to like really work at these different things and really finding what you may do that you may need to change just to be a little bit more accessible, kind of thing.
100%. And that's why I really love these Zoom, like 2020 and COVID has spawned a ton more Zoom classes or live stream acting classes, which at first a lot of people resisted because you're like, well, no, I need to be in person with people. I need to be in a theater or on stage mm-hmm. or at a studio. And then everyone just flipped to having a home studio. But since I've started taking them, like my awareness of lens and frame yeah. and camera dynamics and viewpoints and everything has been through the roof. And I feel way more comfortable now that callbacks are often Zoom callbacks and live callbacks, just literally like this, like you're the director and I'm the actor auditioning. If you haven't figured out the tech of this and you're scared of Zooms, then it's hard to be an actor right now. On top of all the regular reasons, it's hard to be an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like now it's just another added layer on top of that.
Right. And as a side note, check out, if you go to laughingvikings.com, you'll get there's a link there for a free workshop with Todorov's Conservatory, who you're a member of as well.
Mm-hmm.
They do a free audit. So if you want to check that out, you can go join us every Saturday. I've been there every Saturday since late August for a 5-hour workshop that includes voice and speech, then text analysis, and then scene monologue study, scene study, cold reads, auditions. And like we said, I think we said this last week, 2020 was less time on stage and less time on set, but I feel sharper and more.
I feel a lot more comfortable on a screen now.
Yeah.
Like before, before 2020, like, I don't know if I had really focused on working on screen. It was just sort of, well, I act, so I can act on screen as well. Now it's like figuring out those little nuances and like those things that'll enhance the performance and like what makes things more dynamic, what make like moving forward and back, like
close up to that careers, right? Close up to make careers. Maybe we should be close up all the time. We just be like this.
I have to go down or lift up my computer.
You said the camera sees everything. I see you. Again, if you're just listening to this, you are missing a lot. Hop on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. But we understand podcast great because maybe you're driving right now or you're washing the dishes or you're on a run and you need to watch where you're running so you don't run into traffic. So wherever you are, we thank you.
This is a perfect segue because we talked about Tom Todorov into. What's going on at Laughing Vikings, Lars?
What's new at LVHQ? What's new at LVHQ? I said, what's new at LVHQ? What is new at LVHQ? LVHQ, what's new?
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
That was good. We got to keep that.
By the way, this is all live. It's not like we spent a lot of time. We did not get Andrew Lloyd Webber or Bob Fosse to work on the choreography and the music on that one.
We couldn't afford them anyway.
This is actually huge. The biggest news, we are now expanding. Again, 2020 was actually, oddly enough, a year of expansion for Laughing Vikings. 2021 is even going to be even bigger, more fun in 21. But I'm proud to say, as of I think yesterday, it was either yesterday or the day before, we now have our first studio on Mars. We have Laughing Vikings Mars.
So, wow.
Yeah, we are intergalactic planetary now.
Damn. Yeah. That is impressive. How did you do that?
So I have my brother to thank for this. And interestingly enough, when he first told us about this back in July, I thought it was just a joke and a gag. My brother also one time for my birthday sent me prop $100 bills. And I got faked out thinking they were real $100 bills until I went to deposit them at the bank and realized it was like in Gourd We Trust or in Dog We Trust. And it actually did, in his defense, right on it, it said prop money and it was all.
Oh, really?
But it looks exactly the same. So sometimes he'll send me a message or tell me something deadpan as a fact. And in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, oh, that's fun. Like, I'll giggle at it and like it on Instagram and then I'll move along. But so in July, he messaged my dad and I with tickets. It was a boarding pass to Mars on the Mars rover Perseverance. Mm-hmm. And I think yesterday it just landed. So what they actually did, and this was a real thing, I thought it was just an internet meme. Like he just went on the internet to one site, typed in our names and was like, haha, look, I got you tickets to Mars.
Yeah.
But NASA actually did this project where you could submit your name and on silicon chips, they etched, it was actually 10 million people submitted. So like digitally or encrypted, 10 million people's names are on a silicon chip attached to the back of the Mars rover, and also speeches by 155 people that submitted a speech, sort of like if Martians or aliens found this, this is our statement from humanity or whatever people wanted to write. And NASA selected a bunch of those and then 10 million names. Mm-hmm. So our names are literally on the Mars rover, which landed in the, I believe it's the Jezera Canyon or something like that on Mars. So that the rover Perseverance has a mission to, it's basically looking for life. It landed in a crater that used to be a lake. Mm-hmm. So its mission is to sort of go out in concentric circles and look for signs of life in the sediment and in the rocks and all that. And cool. Lars Classington's name is attached. So it's actually possible, I think, once they start naming streets on Mars, the people's names, we might be the first people. So there might be like Classington Way on Mars or Classington Ooh. Boulevard. Or maybe they name boulders first or craters, like Classington Crater. Oh, look over there at Laughing Vikings Boulder. Right?
Hey, who doesn't want a boulder on Mars named after them?
It was super cool. It actually blew my mind. And you could watch some of the footage. And speaking of this, now that we have a foothold on Mars, my brother, who is a
Lars?
Astrophysics, astronomy loving guy. Oh, did I freeze to you? I think you froze this time. Are you frozen? Brandon froze, everyone. I'm just going to keep plowing through till he gets back on. So my brother, he is going to be broadcasting. We'll do once a week from Laughing Vikings Mars, and you can get an update as to what the Mars rover is doing. There he is.
Brandon, there we go. He's
back.
Yay. All right, down.
That was good. So you just froze, and then the last thing I heard you say was like, you were like, uh-oh, Lars. But I could tell that I wasn't freezing, so I was like, oh, Brandon froze for once.
Finally, I was scared that you had got away, and so I was like, yeah, we're still talking about Mars going on, and nice. What's happening there?
No, I held it down.
No idea what happened, but yeah.
Yeah. So I was just explaining that a regular segment we're going to start doing is Laughing Vikings Live from Mars with my brother Bumpus Ballfields. Fun fact, his studio is actually right at Madison Square Gardens in New York, but we're going to call him on Mars. It's super cool. It's insane when you think about it. Mm-hmm. Mars is 427 million miles away from us. It took the rocket 6 months to get there.
Yeah.
And it's like 10 feet by 9 feet by 7 feet tall. It has all these international instruments, like something is measuring soil, something's measuring atmosphere, something's doing seismic stuff. It's picking up rocks and putting them in hermetically sealed jars that the next mission is going to come and collect it and take it home. Mm-hmm. It's insane. And we figure that out. Or it's just all in a green screen studio and it's something for us to be distracted about. And
do you think the first moon landing was staged?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's an interesting question.
I don't know. I mean, I'm generally not a conspiracy guy. I think it would just be too big a thing. Like, I feel like if it was, it would just be out there that it was for sure.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't be like in the dark sides of the internet. I think everyone would just be like, yeah, that whole thing was, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. It's an interesting topic to think about, but like, yeah. It's very cool that they were able to land on Mars. I know it was like a 7 minute nail biter as they were landing, and they weren't sure if it was actually going to land successfully.
Right.
And like the whole, like them being like super happy of like, yeah, we did it. Such an amazing thing to see.
That's huge. They sat down on computers and like did all the math to figure this out. And then when you see it, it's like, it's a ridiculously advanced piece of machinery. Like it's basically the most advanced robot ever. Mm-hmm. That's now up there, and they landed it. It, when it enters the atmosphere, it's I think it was 2200 degrees Celsius. So the whole front of it is basically a metal shield that burns up.
Okay.
And I think it flips over and drops out, and then there's a parachute for a little while. Then the parachute releases, and then what do they call them? Like anti-thrusters or like basically air brakes kick in as it's getting close, and then it's settled in. It's insane. Wow.
That's crazy.
And we're there, buddy. My name is on Mars right now, which, you know what,
Mars,
that means pretty soon BK Broiler's name is going to be on Mars.
Ooh.
Oh, I know people. We got,
but do you know, you know people? Hookups.
I'm there, buddy. We're there.
You're there on the inside now.
We're there, and we're going to hear every week from my brother live from Mars with Bumpus, Laughing Vikings Mars. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And he's going to actually let us know what's actually happening, like what they're finding. May find some shit.
Maybe. Right. I know they landed in like a crater that used to be filled with water.
Yeah, yeah, it's a former lake, like, and it was sort of an estuary too, where they're like, I think the river flowed into the lake, but then the rivers, so there's all kinds of sedentary.
This is the start of like us terraforming Mars in a way so that we can theoretically live on it, right?
Yeah, when we destroy Earth.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
almost inevitable that that would happen.
I have faith in humans. We're going to figure it out. We're going to start living.
I mean, especially if we're able to like spread out between like Earth and Mars, and maybe even like some people live on the moon or something like that. That might even things out, really.
Right.
Theoretically, anyway, maybe. So what else is new at Laughing Vikings? We have some very big news in the form of a screen.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it's no Mars news. Before the Mars landing, the news was going to be we also got a new green screen, and we're building a new voiceover booth here as well. So, if you're an actor and you've got auditions where you want to do some voiceover, we have a giant green screen, which is right behind me too. So, a full body green screen. I think Brandon froze again. So, it's just me holding it down. We have any comments? I'll check the comments here. And be sure to shoot us a DM at Laughing Vikings again. Be sure to connect with us on all the ways. I'm going to wait for Brandon to get back on here for a second. He's really slacking. And Brandon, hello. Hello. For real, though, that Mars stuff is super cool. If you believe the moon landing was fake, let us know. If you believe it was real, let us know. Shoot us a message. Oh, so Brandon is out. One sec. We're going to try and find Brandon again. Let me see if I can send him another.
Hey, sorry about that.
Hey, we're back. No worries. I actually accidentally, in trying to do something to send you a message, I think I closed the broadcast completely. So at some point, it might just go dark. I don't know. We're figuring this out.
And yeah, we're still trying. But so we do have a green screen that's coming up, and we're going to be using that for hopefully more auditions.
You see it right here. Yeah. We've been using, in addition to our slate fun, we've been doing a lot of fun stuff with green screens. Like I dropped, like, what have we done? I had a scene.
Where it was a comic book store.
Yeah, I was a comic book owner. So we put like the backdrop of a comic book behind me, like the front counter. I've done a couple in an alley, swanky kitchens, all kinds of stuff. We did an old timey one the other day that was 1903.
Was so much fun.
We put us in a little old timey place. So yeah, it's fun stuff.
And we're also building a voiceover booth.
Yeah, we've always had the voice gear here, and we've done tons of voice work and voiceover, but we're sort of building a tighter voice booth. So if you're an actor out there and you need a spot to do some voiceover work and you don't have a home studio, you just book a audition session as usual. Mm-hmm. And instead of doing it on camera, you can hop in the voice booth. Or if you're a business out there and you need some voiceover work, maybe you're an author and you need to find a voice to do your audio book, or for your business's social media ads, radio ads, Spotify ads. Mm-hmm. You got some, is that you? You got some...
I'm sorry. I'm on the Danforth.
I don't apologize. That's great. Yeah, that's part of it. It's part of the mystique. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, so
that's the news. And if you want to become a member at Laughing Vikings, go to laughingvikings.com/actors. And if you join today, you'll get one free audition session. So if you have a self-tape coming up, either Zoom or in person, when you join for $29, it comes with a free audition, which would normally, the audition sessions would normally be $69. Mm-hmm. And what that includes is use of the studio or the Zoom session with a session director who's a trained actor with TV, film, commercial, theater, casting and acting experience. And we rehearse and read, I give you some redirects, and then we edit and snip it together and then transfer the file wherever it needs to go. And Brandon is one of the fantastic session runners.
Thank you.
Myself.
So are well. You. I mean, I love working with you in studio as well. Like, you're so great at coming up with ideas. You're so good at like bouncing things off of each other. And like, it's so much fun to work with you as well. Like, so you can book sessions with me. You can book sessions with Lars. You can book sessions with a bunch of other people that we have on the roster.
Yeah, Lucy, Katarina, Amy Emanuel is great. Rachel Witzman, Nick Ferwerda, Lori Empiana does some via Zoom as well too. Mm-hmm. And this is a good time to say if you're a working actor out there and you're looking for a little bit of a side hustle and you're probably already doing Zoom auditions and studio self tapes. I think most of us have had to hop on that trolley recently. And if you are and you want to hop on board and get a little side hustle money, send us a DM and maybe we can hook you up with a position here at Laughing Vikings and you can be running sessions and sort of creating your own side hustle business there. So yeah, we'd be happy to be growing. But regardless, it's good vibes only. So Remember that. If you mm-hmm. got bad vibes, do not apply. Bad vibes do not apply. More fun in 21. We got so many catchphrases.
Yeah, we're building our repertoire here, Lars.
Yeah. All right, what's next? We're gonna move along to press.
Yes, we are gonna move along to press.
Vikings press. Laughing Vikings press.
So you recently did an article or an interview with a person named Morgan Sharp, and that article is called Independent Theater, Actors Look Through COVID-19's Window of Opportunity. It's actually a two-part article, fantastic read. Talks to Luis Fernandez and Cass Van Wyk, who run the Assembly Theater. And they are currently doing the Window of Opportunity Festival, which is going on right now. And you can tune in to that on YouTube. I will put a description below.
You can link it up in the comments there. Now that we got comments, linking it up in the comments. By the way, I love Lewis and Cass.
And, fantastic people.
And the... the theater company that they run,
the Assembly Theater. Yeah,
the Assembly Theater. You worked with Lewis before. He's great. They're both.
Yeah, I actually did a show just before lockdown with them called Shakespeare, and it was a part improv show, part scripted show, and like we had to adapt from the script and do like little improv bits throughout, and like it's about basically a troupe of actors that are going to be doing a cross between Molière and Shakespeare. And it's supposed to be like compiled like that, basically like a mixtape. And then the writer emails the director the night before opening and goes, just throw out the script, let them do whatever they want. And like, really, wow. Well, really cool show. We did get through two runs of it before we did have to shut down due to lockdown restrictions. But it was a very fun show. It actually performed on my birthday.
Question.
That was opening.
The part that is after the director says, let them do what they want. Do you guys actually improv that part? Or is it scripted to be improv? Like, do you know what I mean?
It's scripted how we react to that news. But like what we do with the performance aspect or like the rehearsal that we end up having because the script is thrown out is improvised.
So it would be different every night if I saw every night in the run?
Slightly different every time. Like we had like a format and like a structure to what we were doing, but like it was slightly different each night and we were trying to like do different things with it.
I love that.
Yeah.
I like when sort of mediums and new concept shows kind of cross anything that's a little different.
It was a very, very cool show to work on. And like, because we didn't even start until like mid February. So we only had like 3 weeks to put up 3 or 4 weeks to put up the show. And like that, it was a lot of fun. It was very like, it's some of the best things that happened just because of like, it was so quick. It was so like, we all had to come together. We all had to like, just be like, okay, we're doing this. It's happening really fast. We don't have much time, but let's go.
Right. And like this is a total shit show, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
Exactly. And like, that's the best part of theater is enjoying the ride of it.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And I should shout out to Jennifer from the Riverside BIA, our business association here, has been amazing all through 2020. She's been like the most amazing lifeline of COVID resources and grant opportunities and press opportunities. And she actually, when I don't know how she actually came in contact with Morgan, who was the reporter from the National Observer, but she sort of turned him to Laughing Vikings and to me. So the article wouldn't have even happened, or I mean, it would happen, but it might not have involved Laughing Vikings without her help. So shout out to her and shout out to the Nat Obbs. So there was a couple things about the article you wanted to delve into.
Well, I did want to talk about like adopting and adapting new skills because you started working on website design. So I wanted to know like how why that was the thing you decided to go down? And like, do you think it's important for actors to start developing different skills so that they learn many different aspects of the business rather than just focusing on acting?
Interesting. That's a good question. Well, for me to break it down, what happened is I realized early COVID, the sobering reality was no live shows, no stand-up, no theater, no auditions, no stuff at the studio, like everything, no TV film, everything ceased to exist. So I was faced with the fact like, and we were on sort of stay-at-home emergency orders to generally like not be going anywhere. So it was sort of the realization of, okay, if you are on lockdown and you can't do all those things, what do you do? And for me, the obvious thing was, well, I can use this time to learn and create and grow all here, obviously not on stage, not on other sets. So I just, 2020 was, for me, I don't think I've ever invested more in my own personal growth and self-development and education. Like it was sort of, and it still is 2021, just a year of like massive growth and learning. So I leaned at one of the first things I did right away is I enrolled in Brendan Burchard's program, Influencer Business Program, which is business and marketing and essentially how to run a digital business online and all the content strategy and all the platforms and all that sort of stuff. Whether you're like, he works in the space of personal growth and kind of motivating and a motivator, but people who have any kind of courses or teachers or even musicians and artists flipping, like flipping to doing digital shows. So it was just obvious to me that the future is digital. So that was the first thing I invested in. I hopped on board a bunch of voice classes. I got in with Todorov's studio as well. So it was just all of my thinking was learn, grow, and mostly digital. So I did that class. I basically bought a new platform. It was a couple $100 a month, but a platform to run the entire digital business, Kajabi, which I think there's a free trial somewhere on the website. If you go to laughingvikings.com, we hook you up with a free trial there as well. So if you're any kind of teacher, coach, maybe you teach acting lessons, maybe you teach singing lessons, maybe you're a dancer, any of those type people, it's an amazing platform to start your business. And it sort of handles all the e-commerce and the payment processing and customer management and video hosting and all that kind of stuff. It's been great. But yeah, I just went hard into that and realized like I got to invest and grow or you just fade away and die in the business world.
Mm-hmm. I also wanted to talk about just COVID times in general. Do you believe that it's important to start developing habits, either like developing habits for you to keep motivated or habits to keep you like just trying to get like different things going? I know for me, when I wake up in the morning, I'm now making my bed every single day.
Yeah, that's
because I did some research and I found out like that's why they have people in the army make their bed every single day perfectly so that it's their first thing that they do. And like it's an accomplishment. It's the first, like after you wake up, first thing you do, make your bed, you won. You did something. Right. And so like I've started adopting that as a new habit. I'm also trying to read in the morning before I finish making my coffee and like trying to do more work again, especially in the morning so that I have like afternoons free to like sit on the couch and watch anime for hours on end. But like, do you think that's important?
Oh yeah, 1,000%. And I think everyone was faced with that, with working from home or layoffs or pauses. So many people throughout COVID ended up with a blank slate of a schedule. So then you have to figure out, okay, what is important to me? If my work or somewhere or school for students isn't telling me what to do at every hour of the day, what do you actually do? And for me, it was learning and growth. I invested heavily more than I ever have in fitness and health. Like I used to always be really stingy with gym membership. I would always try and find the cheapest gym membership. And then I sort of like you, I read it or I saw something somewhere. And it was sort of the idea is when you invest money, when you take some of your own money and invest in something, part of what you do when you invest in it is then you invest more of yourself in it because you get paid more. So it's not really about the money. It's about the more money you put into something, often the more perceived value it has. So you just put more into it. So I'm like, why am I only trying to spend $20 a month on fitness and health? Like, shouldn't my investment in remaining alive for as long as possible be my number one investment? Like you'd think. But I often didn't think that way. So trying to get better habits. And everyone, like you said, every top performer, it doesn't matter who it is, they all almost like, I'd say 99% of them will point to a morning routine that includes maybe something spiritual, some meditation, some gratitude, some affirmations, usually something physical to get the body moving, some flow, some yoga, a run, a walk. Smoothie, some good food off the bat, some planning, looking at your to-do list, some reading. And if you start your day off, like everyone knows, when you start off your day shitty and you don't correct it, you end up having an entirely shitty day. If you start off great. And what you mentioned about doing the things that are important to you that you know will grow you and move you forward, doing that stuff first. So that then if you want to relax, you relax later. But you kind of did. Somebody calls it eat that frog. And the idea is if you had to eat a frog, if you knew tomorrow that at some point during the day you had to eat a frog, which is kind of a gross thing, especially if it's a live frog, you'd be best to eat it right away. Otherwise, all day long, you're like, oh, fuck, at the end of the day, I got to eat that fucking frog. You know, so it's the idea.
Okay, so it's like the buildup is worse than like actually just ripping off the Band-Aid kind of thing.
Do the big thing that you had to do. Keep the main things the main thing. It's like you hear it put different ways. But the idea is just get shit done early so that you can. You're right there. Is that somebody?
I like how this alarm keeps like stopping and then going again. And now it's going again. I don't know what's happening. Yell at him.
Hey, I'm trying to podcast.
Hey, what are you doing over there?
Hey, we're trying to
podcast. What are you doing?
For God's sakes. We're going live.
Isn't it? They're not listening to me, Lars. Right. What is this?
So COVID for me has been huge like that. I actually feel as tough as it was, and my heart goes out to people who are worst case scenario COVID people who have either lost family members or had the worst health ordeal, or people who have lost jobs. Like, you think about this, for every person out there who's saying that COVID's no big deal or it's a hoax or it's a plandemic or whatever, there's also people who have family members dead, they lost their job, they lost their house, their kids are at home because they can't be at school, and their life's all fucked up right now. So I unfortunately haven't been one of those people, but a lot of it was I intentionally realized, okay, if this is going to be a hard year, you can rise to the occasion. And I kind of made a decision. And most of this was from Brendon Burchard. I've always surrounded myself with coaches, and the podcasts I listen to are more coaching oriented and personal growth oriented. And it's like the test of character and the test of you as a human is not when things are perfect and everything's going well. It's when things are hard and uncertain and difficult or just everything that's been going on this year. That's when you have a choice to rise to the occasion. It's like, are you going to be set back a year from now, 2 years from now? Are you going to be a person who's just like, well, I couldn't do anything and I just sat around and physically I got worse, financially I got worse, I didn't work, I lost my job, and I just waited around, I couldn't go anywhere? Or you do all the things that you can do and kind of take control. And he always suggests you try and be a role model. So who do you want to be a role model to your family and friends? Do you want to be the guy that's like the rah-rah leading the charge? Like, do you want to be the general on the front lines, or do you want to be the soldier that's curled up in the fetal position back in the tent because he's afraid that we're all going to get slaughtered, you know? We may all get slaughtered, but at least you're be at the front of the slaughter.
Right? So on that note, we're going to segue into our final segment of the day. And this is quote of the week or quote inspirational of quote of the
week. Quote of the week. It's a quote of the week. It's a quote of the week. Quote of the week. Nailed it. Right?
Nice. Yeah, I'm enjoying just dancing to these.
You got one first? So I'm going to do something different. I actually have a little quote book from one of my favorite authors, and I'm going to pop it open and just hit a random one, but you go first.
Okay. So my quote of the week is, it's only legendary till someone proves it real. It's actually part of a song by one of my favorite animes and manga series called One Piece. It is the longest running series, anime series and manga series in history. It just had its 20-year anniversary. So the quote is, it's only legendary till someone proves it real. I love the imagery that comes across with this, because like, this show is all about finding a treasure that no one knows. And like, what is that treasure? They all assume it's gold, but like, we don't actually know. And like, so whatever the treasure is to you, yes, it may feel unachievable right now, but once you prove it real, then you're the person that proved it real. You're the person that stood on top of the mountain. And like, it sort of goes into another quote I really like called, the top of one mountain is the bottom of the next. And so you always have to keep climbing, because like, once you do one successful thing, it's on to the next one. And like, it's keep on building. Keep on building yourself. Keep on building your toolbox. Keep on building your repertoire. Keep on enhancing who you are as a person, because you're just going to keep getting better if you keep trying to learn and keep like fighting for the thing that you want.
Love it. And if you don't, you're just going to get shittier and shittier, because you're either getting better or you're getting worse. There's no.
Yeah. Or like, you're staying still, and then everyone else is passing you by.
Right. Yeah. And that was a big, like, again, early on in COVID, some of the people I was listening to, one of the things they said in every period of retraction or recession or depression or economic downturn, if you can figure out a way to be the people expanding and growing while everyone's retracting, then you end up leaps and bounds. And if you actually look economically, anyone's personal fortunes or businesses, I mean, there's examples where maybe it's extreme right now. The poor are getting poorer, and the super wealthy are getting even wealthier. But there's strategy to that, and that's if you can be growing and expanding, because everyone's running away. It's almost like everyone's running out of the building. Mm-hmm. And if you can have the courage to run in, all of a sudden you got yourself your own like free building. Maybe it's on fire, but if you can put some of those fires out, then you got a half-burned free building for yourself.
Yeah.
Right? So it's funny you mentioned treasure there. You were talking about treasure. So the book that I've had, and I think I've had this I've had it since university. It's called The Treasury of Quotes by Jim Rohn, who is one of America's foremost business philosophers. He's famously one of Tony Robbins' early mentors. Like, when Tony Robbins was 19 years old, Jim's like audio CDs or tapes or whatever were the things that he discovered. Cool. There are a total of 28 pages. I would like you to tell me what number between 1 and 28 you would like to. Actually, let me make sure it starts on page 1. Between 3 and 28, pick a number.
17.
We will flip to page 17. And then there are 4 quotes on here. Would you like to hear number 1, 2, 3, or 4?
2, please.
Wow. So the page that we landed on, they're sort of subtitled in different sections. The page that we landed on, I don't know if you can see that.
American government
and politics. And you said number 2?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know how inspiring this will be. This might just be scary, because this was also written. He wrote this in the 80s. This was published in 2002. Okay. Oh. But the original publishing was 1993. So this is 30 years ago. Certainly pre-Trump. Debate refines a good idea. That's why we have two major parties in Congress. Somebody says, I have a great idea for the country. We say, wonderful, put it on the table. Let's debate. And we start to debate by questioning the guy who has this great idea. After the third question, he says, I withdraw my great idea. I forgot about those three questions. Interesting. Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of not where America is right there. Maybe America needs to get back to debate.
I mean, I feel like what we need to start doing, especially in debate formats, is listen to the argument rather than be like, no, I don't agree with what you're saying. Like, you should listen to what is being said. Maybe you don't agree with it, but maybe you can like come around to either the idea or like try and bring your own idea and like make something new, make a discussion of the thing that you're talking about rather than just be like, oh, you want that? Right. I don't want that. I don't care.
Right. And now the challenge is it's hard to have any kind of debate when both sides are seeing completely different sets of facts too, where it's like, well, we have alternate facts or everything you're saying is a hoax. So that's a challenge. So what can you do in that case? If someone's saying, well, like if you're like exhibit A and you're like, well, no, all of that's bullshit, this is the truth. That's the challenge in a lot of parts of the world right now. But maybe you can still have a conversation and start to learn about, why does this person feel that way? Why are they thinking that way? What has led them to go down that path that they believe all of these things, even if to you it's nonsensical and or completely non-factual?
There's and it's another trying, one. Trying to see things from a different angle as well.
Right. The last one here is, tyranny knows no restraint of appetite.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's a pretty good one. Yeah. You've never had there's no tyrant that's been like, yeah, I think I've had enough. Like that's Napoleon wanted more. Alexander the Great wanted more. Genghis Khan wanted more. Everyone's more. The Romans wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
The English
and they couldn't. They
more.
Can't. They can't stop until someone either dethrones them or like someone more powerful like comes along and like takes them out, or like they die in battle, kind of thing.
Give me one more page. I don't want to end on American politics. We've had
okay. Let's go to 23.
Page 23. Okay. Influence association. There are four quotes. Do you want one, two, three, or four?
Four.
Let the views of others educate and inform you, but let your decisions be a product of your own conclusions.
I like that.
Also very relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that relates to the acting business. In a lot of actors have, there's always challenges with belief and imposter syndrome and self-esteem. Like, am I going to make it? Am I good enough? Da 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you get a bad review, or you hear something from a casting director, or could be even from
a coach, or
a peer. And all of a sudden you take that one sentence as like, that's this almighty know-it-all comment. But really the only one who gets to decide how your life plays out is you, unless you're in some scenario where you're, like in prison or something like that, or you're being what do you call it, like someone is what's the word, you're being oppressed, like,
oh, okay,
oppressed.
Well, yeah. I mean, hopefully you'll be able to get yourself out of that oppression,
right?
But yeah, it is a very good quote of like fighting to get out of the box, and like your own uniqueness makes you special. Or that's how I felt about that quote. Like, your uniqueness is what defines who you are. And again, there's like, we talked about this last week. There's no one like you. There is no one like you out there, because you are unique.
Right. So take the bullshit from other people with a grain of salt too. And a lot of people sort of relating to this, a lot of the reasons that people aren't where they are in life is because one or two people. Like they're telling, there's a story that they're telling themselves that isn't even true. Often it's not even their own story. It's the story of a teacher or some asshole arch rival in high school or whoever it is, or some often it's a family member, which is sad, where a mother or father has said, oh, you'll never amount to nothing, or like that. No, nobody ever succeeds doing that. Or a teacher sometimes in a worst case scenario too. So, but the reality is you get to make that narrative. And sadly enough, it's sometimes it's other people, but sometimes it's their own head. It's just, if you can release yourself and raise your own bar and sort of start just raising your own level of necessity, then you can just keep improving rather than thinking like, oh, I'm stuck, or oh, I'm here and I'm never going to make it. And it
comes back to what I said before, the top of one mountain is the bottom of the next. So keep climbing.
That's a good spot to end. So wherever you are, whatever mountain you are, keep putting one foot in front of the other, keep climbing, try to drink some water and stretch while you're doing it as well. And hopefully you brought your cell phone and enough snacks to get up the mountain. And if you don't have enough snacks with you on the mountain, maybe you know how to forage and you know which berries aren't poisonous.
Yeah. Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed. So we're going to leave it there. Make sure to hit us up at Laughing Vikings. Send us a DM. You can win some prizes. Share this out to three friends. Again, the world needs more good vibes, and you could be the person spreading that good vibes amongst your family, friends, peers. If you're an actor, hit us up at laughingvikings.com. You can become a member, grab a free audition session. And if you want to grab my album, Silly Goose, that's also available for free download at laughingvikings.com as well. Any final words?
If anyone wants to send me a fun fact and they feel like it should be on our podcast, please send that to me. You can DM me at my link down below. There it is, right? Nope. Okay. You keep taking it away. Yeah, there it is. Right there. There we go. Right there. It's me, Brandon Ox, 27.
What's the 27 stand for?
Scott Niedermeyer.
Brandon Knox. Maybe we need to look up. Maybe you need to change yours to BK Broiler.
Ooh, I could actually.
Consider it. Maybe it's available. Brandon Knox 27 at Hotmail.
Well, I mean, I always think of 27 as like a tribute to him. Again, he's my favorite hockey player. He's one of the best defensemen in the league, in my opinion, or was. Won 4 Stanley Cups.
We gotta find the other 26 Brandon Knoxes and see what they're up to.
One's working, one owns a company. I get calls about him almost every week.
Nice. You hear that, Brandon Knox? If you're one of the other Brandon Knox and you're listening to this, or if you know anyone else named Brandon Knox, have them contact the real Brandon Knox with a fun fact.
Yeah, please. It'd be great.
All right. Goodbye, everyone. We'll see you next time. And remember, we are now Laughing Vikings live from Mars. Tune in for our Mars reports. Goodbye, 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 goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, you hang up.
You hang up.